Let's read together Psalms 42 and 43. In these two psalms, which naturally go together, the psalmist, who is away from Jerusalem, longs to be back at the temple where he can worship the Lord, free from any enemy opposition. Let's begin by reading Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God my rock, "Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Let's consider a couple of background notes for Psalm 42. We see from the title of this psalm that Psalm 42 is for the chief musician, a maskil of the sons of Korah. Maskil means it is a song of wisdom and insight. Now, the sons of Korah may have written the psalm, or it could have been written by someone else and given to the sons of Korah to be set to music and used in temple worship. Remember that the sons of Korah were Kohathites of the tribe of Levi, whom David appointed to praise the Lord in the ministry of music. Read 1 Chronicles chapter 6 in this connection. In the days of good King Jehoshaphat of Judah, we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 19, "Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the sons of Korah stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high." It would seem from verse 6 of Psalm 42 that the author of this psalm was in exile or captivity somewhere in the north of Israel, where the Jordan Valley is wide below the peaks of Mount Hermon. Mount Mizar is probably one of the peaks in the Mount Hermon range. While the psalm sounds like it could have been written by David, we don't know of any experience in David's life where he was in the north of Israel as a captive. So it would seem that this psalm and Psalm 43 were written by a Jewish captive of the Syrians when Syria controlled this territory, sometime during the reigns of Ahab and Jehoshaphat, for example, or it was written by one of the captives when Assyria invaded the land, maybe even one of the sons of Korah as a captive. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for Psalm 42. Believers who long for God when thirsty will not be disappointed. Believers who long for God when thirsty will not be disappointed. We see that this psalm or song is in two stanzas. Stanza number 1, verses 1 through 5, and stanza number 2, verses 6 through 11. Notice that each stanza closes with the same refrain. Verse 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." And verse 11, the close of the second stanza, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." In the first stanza, we have a vivid picture of the soul who is spiritually thirsty. As the deer pants for water during times of drought, so committed believers yearn for their spiritual thirst to be quenched by God. Verses 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Have you had that experience? The psalmist here weeps in sorrow as he is taunted by the enemy where he is held captive. Where is your God, they say. Verse 3. The psalmist in exile yearns to be back in Jerusalem with fellow believers who are making their way to the temple to worship the Lord. Verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. In the refrain of verse 5, we see that the psalmist is encouraged by his confidence that the Lord will answer him in his time of need. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now, much of the second stanza of this psalm can be applied to our Lord during his time of rejection and suffering. In this second stanza of verses 6 through 11, we see that even though the captive psalmist was undergoing floods and waterfalls and waves of sorrow, verses 6 and 7, he knew that the Lord would remain loyal to him by day and by night, 24/7. Verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So we see the psalmist's confidence in the Lord in the midst of floods and waves of sorrow. And even though it seemed that God had forgotten the psalmist as he experienced enemy opposition, verse 9, and physical and emotional distress, verse 10, yet he was confident that the Lord would deliver him, as we see in the refrain of verse 11. Let's read these verses once again, verses 9 through 11. I will say to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. The Lord had not forgotten or forsaken the psalmist. Believers who long for God when thirsty will not be disappointed. Practical application from Psalm 42. Praise the Lord when your soul thirsts for God. Praise the Lord when your soul thirsts for God. Now, you might think that to be spiritually thirsty is a bad thing. No, God can use it for good. First of all, we experience the presence of the Lord more when he does quench our spiritual thirst. And then it is proof of our salvation. Unbelievers don't yearn for God. They are empty and they are spiritually thirsty, but they try and fill up the void and quench their spiritual thirst with everything but God. The fact that you yearn for God when he allows you to experience a period of spiritual dryness is a great indication that you are a true believer. So praise the Lord when your soul thirsts for God. Let's continue reading Psalm 43. Psalm 43, beginning with verse 1. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle or dwelling place. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Let's consider a couple of background notes for Psalm 43. We mentioned that Psalms 42 and 43 naturally go together, because in both Psalms, the writer longs to be back in Jerusalem to worship the Lord at his holy temple. Also, we see the same refrain that we had in verses 5 and 11 of Psalm 42 here in the last verse of Psalm 43. Verse 5 of Psalm 43, once again. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Furthermore, there are some ancient Hebrew manuscripts that have Psalms 42 and 43 united as one psalm. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for Psalm 43. Believers who lean on God when oppressed will not be disappointed. Believers who lean on God when oppressed will not be disappointed. The ungodly nation of verse 1 is either Syria or Assyria, as we mentioned, or possibly even the northern kingdom of Israel. The unjust man in verse 1 is someone who is mainly responsible for keeping the psalmist in exile as a captive in the north. Most likely, this Jewish captive is a Levite, maybe even a son of Korah, because in verse 4 of Psalm 42, he speaks of leading the people up to the house of the Lord. And here in verse 4 of Psalm 43, he speaks of going to the altar of sacrifice, which was a function of the Levites, and of praising the Lord on the lyre in the temple area, which was a function of the Levites, as we've seen. Notice that the psalmist is not out for personal revenge. He only desires vindication and deliverance from enemy oppression and the opportunity to worship the Lord at the temple. And he is leaning totally upon the Lord. And as we see from the refrain in verse 5, he is confident that the Lord will grant his requests. Verse 5 once again, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Now comes the confidence. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. You know, we too can be confident that the Lord will honor our requests for vindication and deliverance and desire to worship him. Believers who lean on God when oppressed will not be disappointed. And now for practical application from Psalm 43. It's okay to ask why. It's okay to ask why. In Psalms 42 and 43, you will count 10 whys by the psalmist. Now, it was not wrong for the psalmist to voice these questions, and it is not an indication that he had given up the faith. No. It's okay to ask why with the right attitude. If we are asking God why with a wrong attitude, such as, God, you've made a mistake, or God, you don't know what you're doing, then we can expect God's discipline, as Job experienced. But if we ask why because we need understanding and insight and long to be in close fellowship with the Lord, then it's not wrong to ask why, as children of our Heavenly Father. It's okay to ask why.